2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
The benefits of belonging to a prophetic community. Now, let me start off by saying that most prophetic people always feel misunderstood. A lot of them feel left out. They are confused because where they belong, maybe a fellowship or a church, because of the background or the biases of those churches, they are not open to the prophetic ministry. You know, some of them, they've had a very painful experience with the prophetic, so they don't want to get involved anymore with anything that has to do with the prophetic. So that's why my task, my goal, is to ensure that I'm able to present something that is like almost pure to you, very, you know, so that when there's somebody is trying to deceive you, you remember, no, it's not all prophets are bad. It's just this other one that is bad. And believe me, if you go to a place like Abuja, around the central business district, you have a lot of false prophets there. All right, I'm mentioning areas. I've told you, if you go to South-South, you have a lot of them there. South-South Nigeria. If you go to South Africa, there are a lot of them there. If you go to Zimbabwe, there are a lot of them there. All right? Even in Lagos here now, there are a lot of them who are telling you the scores of the football match and telling you which stock is going to rise in value and which one is going to... It's not that the prophet cannot do those things, but that is not your core function. You are distracting people. So what does it matter if Arsenal wins two and Man U loses one? It doesn't mean anything. Except the Lord is trying to give us a prophetic portrait. But most times, these are the things people hear when we refer to the prophetic. And then they become like, so if this all the prophetic is about, I don't need it. All right? So when you come to a prophetic community, you are going to learn so many things. So for those of you who are prophetically inclined and you feel grossly misunderstood, if you feel, if you are prophetically gifted, you have a lot of dreams, you see visions, you hear God speaking to you, and people always feel uncomfortable around you, or some of them even outrightly let you know they are not, you are not welcome. If you've ever experienced rejection because you demonstrated a prophetic gift, this is so important, because the first time I prophesied, it was in a public space, in a fellowship, and I was rejected. Now I want you to imagine that the person standing in front of you now, you know, you heard Pastor David's testimony. It was in a live Sunday service. So whether the prophecy came to pass or not, I mean, it's there for everybody to see, you know. Yeah, a lot of people are in that category. Most people cannot undo a person who knows everything or who knows what is not his business, who knows what you ate last night, who knows the demons flying in this place, who knows the witches in the neighborhood and their addresses. You know, nobody wants that kind of person around him. So it can be really weird. It's even more painful when it's your pastor. I was rejected by a minister of the gospel the first time I prophesied. And what happened in that meeting is, the woman has a son, the leader of our group has a son, who was prophetically gifted. I was just a new Christian, just coming into spiritual things. I'd gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit, and with the baptism of the Holy Spirit came the gift of prophecy. All right? So I usually what will happen in that fellowship is after the praise worship, then the son, he's a medical doctor now, a very wonderful guy, will begin to prophesy. But that day, he didn't prophesy, so I decided to prophesy. Nobody knew that I had gotten the gift of prophecy. So when I prophesied, the woman just got up and said, no, This is not the spirit of God. And she rebuked me, and, you know, I felt destroyed and, you know, crushed inside. You know, so I'm telling you this because I feel you and I get you. All right. I was so destroyed. I took it like a man. All right. I took it like a man, but it was not easy. I was, you can imagine, and I was somewhere, you know, in front. Everybody was just staring at me. Now, I could have, I left that place like, oh, maybe I'm not going to go back to this fellowship again. But I went back. Shortly after then, maybe like a few months, the woman asked us again. This is our Bible study teacher. She asked us again, oh, we are going to sing a song, and I want somebody to sing that same song in tongues. That's what she said. You know, because I had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, I knew that there was something Paul said, that I will pray in the Spirit and I will also sing in the Spirit. So I knew. Then the song refused to sing again. You see, this boy just keeps putting me in trouble. So I decided to go ahead and I sang in tongues. By the time I was done, she carried me. She's the same woman who judged me, like, wow, this is so anointed, this is so powerful. In my mind, like, it's the same anointing. Like, she judged me here, she praised me here. How I wish the woman even knew how much regard I had for her. Because there were other people who were crushed on stage and they never recovered. A lot of prophetic people are low rangers. They are always by themselves. They don't talk to anybody again because most likely people don't take them seriously. All right. So when you find yourself in that kind of a situation, you need a prophetic community. All right. You need a prophetic community. You need a group of prophets that you can always bounce off ideas, you know, share, you know, things together. And in the Old Testament, you know, Elijah had the sons of prophets. Later, Elisha took over. So this is established. All right. Now, it's good for a prophetic person to have a prophetic community. Some people are even asking, why are you teaching people about prophecy? Okay, so why are we teaching people what, you know, what it means to be a pastor? We go to pastors' college or theological college, they teach you how to become a pastor. All right? The prophetic is the ear gate and the eye gate into the body of Christ. If we get it wrong there, if we miss it and a wrong prophetic word comes in and filters in, and nobody was able to detect it, it will poison the system. The only way we can maintain the integrity of the body and the voices that we are receiving is when we have a prophetic presbytery. And please, I want you to note that word, the prophetic presbytery, that is able to oversee such counsel, such words that are released, or the sense of direction that is coming through voices, through the voice or through the prophet, to determine if this thing is from the Lord or from another source. A prophetic community is important. I remember, and I want to encourage anybody here who decided to shut down the gift or has become stranded because of these painful experiences and rejection that you've experienced in the past. Look, I went through it, but I didn't give up on myself. And I want to encourage you not to give up yourself. In fact, this is one of the reasons why we set up this prophetic school for this year, because we need to bring the prophetic people together again. Some of you are aspiring to be close to one man of God that is so far away that you will never be able to reach or communicate with. That's why you are getting this opportunity now. so that you will receive some level of guidance, mentorship, spiritual covering. Because many prophetic people, and indeed some of us here, we are flying blind. We have no covering. All right? So this is very, very important. This is very, very important. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 13, the scripture also talks to us about a council of prophets and teachers that came together to pray and to fast. It was a council. They didn't have that in Jerusalem church. But when the Antioch church started, they had something like that. All right? So there's nothing wrong about having a prophetic council. And I just want to say this by the side, you know, for all our followers in prophetic school that are from Canada, United States, I want to appreciate you. I know they are having a tough time because of the time difference of about 6 hours. So if you guys could come around, I would not mind having a day or two just to come online here and be a blessing to you. And if you have some of your folks who are in the US or in Canada, around that region, if you're able to come together, we'll have a specialized meeting of maybe where I'm able to minister to you personally, so that you won't miss out on much of what is going on here. All right, so that's by the side. So I hope the Canada people here are listening. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, so sometimes the visions just begin to jump in without your permission. Let me try and concentrate so I can teach. All right, so why do we need a prophetic community? All right, why do we need a prophetic community? Number one, to get proper training and encouragement. The truth of the matter is, a lot of prophetic people are untrained. I once listened to a prophet, and he was saying that if you come into the prophetic, you need at least minimum of 10 years training before you can even begin to call yourself a prophet. That's what when he said that, I was shocked. He said, then by the time you hit 20, you are getting close to maturity, because there are certain things, and he wasn't talking about just the gift. He was talking about the maturity that goes with that gift. Some of us are here, we are 30, we are 40 years. We have spent the better part of our life even denying that this is who we are. Come on, if you are there, please say something. Some of us, we just deny that, oh, we have this gift. We don't want to assume that we are gifted. You know, because you don't want, I'm not special. Okay, yeah, I have dreams once in a while, but maybe it's just me. Maybe there's nothing special. Listen to me, you are special. You are special. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't be distracted. Take the next 2-3 years and begin to dig deep. 5 years from now, the difference will be clear. In fact, in 1 year, you can have a lot of, you know, you could have accumulated a lot of development in capacity, you know, spiritually. The problem is that most times people just want someone to lay hands on them. But laying of hands will sow the seed. But you still have to do the work. You get some of these developments and training from a prophetic community. Maybe let's say, for instance, we are done with this school, done on Friday. We may decide to leave that WhatsApp group there so that people who have questions in the future, or where we have materials or books or audio messages, we can post it there so that people can read and keep developing. You are in a community where everybody is thinking alike. All right? When Pastor Ayo, in the year 2000, January 1, 12 a.m., while everybody was shouting, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Pastor Ayo, or Papa Ayo, was laying his hands on my head, and he was prophesying. I came into the prophetic ministry in the year 2000. All right? I've been prophesying, but I came into the prophetic ministry fully 2000. January 1, 12 a.m. As people were screaming, Happy New Year, you know, this and that, it's as from my head. And I remember the words. Listen, the words that affect your life don't come from the head. They come from the spirit. The words that can change your heart, change your life, they don't come from wishful thinking or wishful praying. They must come from a place of authority. And those words many times will be carved into your heart. They will never leave you. Papayo said to me that day, he said, through the laying of hands, I bring you into the prophetic community. Through the laying of hands of prophetic presbytery, I bring you into the prophetic community. And the moment he did that, oil began to flow from the top of my head all through to my face. I will never forget that experience. The oil began to flow very powerfully. I knew where we were seated. It was just in a corner, you know, in the auditorium. And I opened my eyes. He had no oil. He didn't have a bottle of the anointing oil beside him. But the impartation was tangible. And somebody here today is going to get a similar experience. In the name of Jesus. As I speak right now, God is going to bypass through the limitations, and the anointing oil will flow through the airwaves, and you will get a sign, a physical sign. You will get, some of you will sense a burning sensation. Some of you will sense oil flowing. Listen to me. The moment you have that experience, make sure you send me a message after this, you know, program today. I would like to pray for you specially, because you are one of the people the Lord sent me to this time. God's servant laid his hands upon me, and the oil began to flow, like literally, like as though olive oil. It was flowing all over my face. And when it was done, I just packed my things. I went home to sleep. By daybreak, we had to go to church for, you know, the New Year service. That was when I knew what had happened to me. I sat in church, and it was as though my belly was on fire. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And I've not experienced it in that manner since then. It was as though my belly was on fire. Literal fire. I became restless. My pastor, who I used to accuse of not being a spiritual person, you know, I used to attend Redeemed Church then. The man got on the altar and located me in the congregation and said, the hand of God is upon this one. Come, 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 come. My pastor picked it and gave me the mic. And I just started prophesying. It was just coming out. I was just prophesying. I didn't even have time to think about the words or to process. The moment I released that word in my spirit, the sensation reduced. This idea of the prophetic community, I learned it first from God's servant, Papa Hayo. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't be a lone ranger, and stop pursuing people you will never have access to. Listen to me. I love God's servant to pieces, Bishop David Oyedepo. I love him to pieces. I follow him with all my heart. But can I tell you that God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo, is not sent to this Gen Z generation? Can I tell you? Because he doesn't speak their language. There are generations after his own, you know, generation in the ministry, and even the two generations after, they were the ones who pastored us. They couldn't they couldn't connect with that Gen Z. We, the people I'm talking to here are the ones that we pastor the Gen Z. I'm talking about the children in primary school now. Some of them are about to get into secondary, or those in secondary school, some of them are still babies now. By the time you are 50 years, 55, those will be the guys that will be 20 and 30. So they may read about a Bishop Oyedepo, but their own idea of a man of God will be you. Come on, are you here now? Come on, are you here now? Are you getting this now? The reason why you have to be on fire, you have to be on point. Your spirit has to be on literal Holy Ghost fire. And much of that you will get within a community where everybody is like you. So in the prophetic community, you will get training, you will get encouragement. And can I also tell you, you will not get all your prophecies right initially. All right, you're not going to get your prophecies right, but today is not the day for, so don't be discouraged. All right, Elisha gave a prophecy that didn't come to pass, but it was not his fault. And maybe if we come back next, you know, June, I'll talk about why prophecies fail. There are people who've given prophecies to and nothing happened, because people don't understand that after a prophetic word, you must engage with spiritual warfare. Paul was speaking to Timothy, his spiritual son, and said, God bless you, Rosa. He said, war with the prophecies that you received when I laid hands on you. That's what Paul said. So there's a place for receiving a prophetic word. There's also the place of engaging in spiritual warfare. So you get encouragement, you get proper training when you are part of a prophetic community. Number two is that you get preserved from error. All right? You get preserved from error. There's a whole lot of rubbish, you know, out there. I call them prophetic balablu. They are there. They are just there. There's nothing to them. They are just gibberish. You know, just people trying to walk their ways into your pocket to control your life, give you prophecy so that you can't sleep or think without them. That's not the goal of the prophetic. The goal of the prophetic is to make you a sound believer that is not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. All right? Yes. Prophetic balabri. So we don't. When you are part of a prophetic community, maybe you went to a meeting and they did something strange. You come to your committee and say, "I was somewhere, you know, and something like this happened. What do we think?" Then people begin to talk about it, and then you are delivered from error. So if the pastor, if the prophet is telling you that, you know what, I'm going to be in my hotel room. At 10 p.m., I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to anoint you with holy oil. Why are you doing that kind of anointing 10 p.m. when even the man of God, his defenses are down? I mean, for Christ's sake, we are all human beings. Let's not just, you know, 10 o'clock is a dangerous time to be laying hands on somebody. All right? So, but some people have seen others do it, and then they want to copy something like that, and then they fall into error. Number three, when you are part of a prophetic community, you are blessed with spiritual covering. You go minister somewhere and somebody asks you, "Oh, who is your, you're a prophet, who is your spiritual father?" I say, "Oh, it's Pastor Benga Sharp." "Oh, okay, I know him." Or if you don't know me, go on YouTube, type my name. You'll find over 200 messages, or go to the church website. You can make reference to someone that can be checked out. All right. I was going to preach in a meeting in Ibadan last year, and the man of God who invited me, also invited his own spiritual father. You know, the spiritual father is a close associate of this man of God, Pastor Korede Kumaya, in Delta State. That man of God went to check me out. You know, went to check me out online. That I've never met this guy before. So the guy was trying, the man was trying to protect his own spiritual son. He went online, sat down, was listening to my messages. Like when we have our Wednesday Bible study, he sat down, was listening to my messages, like, wow, okay, this is awesome. And he told me when I met him that he actually checked me out, so that he's happy to meet me. All right. So that is an example of spiritual corruption. People, you can lay claim to, you know, some kind of lineage, some spiritual lineage. People should know who they can report you to if you are misbehaving. Nobody's going to give you his pulpit or ask you to come minister to their youth church, and then you create a lot of problems. They should be able to say, oh, we know him. We can call Pastor Ayo. If we are not comfortable with him, you know, don't just be a lone ranger flying around and like a loose cannon. You need spiritual covering. You need, and that is closely related to the fourth point, which is you are becoming part of a spiritual tribe. The tribe of Issachar. As prophetically gifted people, you know, I shared with us that a prophetically gifted person is somebody that has the gift of prophecy, or that has the gift of tongues and interpretation, or that has the gift of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, or someone that operates in dreams and visions. Actually, every Christian should be part of the prophetic community. But in terms of giftedness, that's what I'm talking about here. Yes, thank you, Taiwo, the master's place. All right? So, what am I saying here? You become part of a spiritual tribe. And being part of a spiritual tribe takes us to the next point. You can inherit mantles. Oh, glory. I love this one. You can inherit mantles. All right? Now, listen to me. When... after I left the bank, and the first thing I did was I just went to Canaan land. And because of my heart, the way I love God's servant Bishop Oyedepo, I went for a conference. It was a pastor's conference. And from that year till today, we have planted other churches in March, we are going to be planting our church in Benin City. All right, it's going to be our first church in the South in Benin City. But I know when that unction came. It was when I sat under the ministration of Bishop Oyedepo for like a week, and I listened in Kenaland there, more than 40 messages. I just sat, and God's servant was just speaking. You can inherit mantles. You can inherit mantles. Some of the things that I'm doing today, they are not my originally. I got them from God's servant, Pastor Ayo. And I've been with Pastor Ayo, and he will tell me that this particular element, I don't have it. So you must have developed this one on your own. You know? Why am I saying? Being part of a prophetic community gives you access to inheritance. You can get mantles. There are things you will not labor for. But because the grace is on Elijah, Elisha can also inherit it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Peter inherited the apostolic headship ministry from Jesus Christ. All right? So this is very important. Number six, being part of the prophetic community helps you understand the variants in the prophetic, the different kinds of prophetic people that we have. Like I know somebody that only prophesies through songs. You know, she prophesies singing, and they are not songs that, you know, people know. She will just begin to prophesy. For the Lord is saying, I am with you, I will bring you to this dry land. And this lady will just be singing. That's not the way she sings, but I'm just giving an example. But she will sing, and then she will begin to talk about, on the 15th of February, the Lord says you are to consecrate. She will begin to talk about instructions. So if you are not able to follow the song, you have lost the entire message. She can't prophesy with words. Once the anointing comes upon her, she sings. And when she sings, she's prophesying. All right? That's a very... I've only seen one person who operated that level. But, I mean, this is the woman I'm talking about. So, in the prophetic community, you meet people with different variants. Like, wow, this, you even begin to appreciate what you are seeing and what you are, experiencing. It's like a flavor, a different flavor. Seers, knowers, dreamers, psalmists, and so on and so forth. All right. So these are some of the benefits. So don't join a prophetic committee and you are thinking, maybe there's something that, it's for your own good. Or I took my time to walk through all this process. I mean, my life is already as hectic and busy as it is. And some of you around me already know that. But I'm just saying, is even I don't disconnect from God's servant, Pastor Ayo. I don't. All right? So this is very important. All right? There's one other thing I would have loved to share with you. How to identify, my time is up though, toxic prophetic communities. I'm going to just read this out in bullet points. So please, I want you to write this one down. How to identify toxic prophetic communities. Number one, they are very secretive in nature. They are secretive in nature. You can't understand their operations unless you first become part of them. I hope you got that. Please, if you are getting, just someone should help us put it on the chat room. They are secretive in nature. And you can't understand what they do unless you first become part of them. Number two, they have a cult-like following around their leader. They have a cult-like following. They follow their leader as though it's like a cult. There's no, you don't come in and retain your personality or your individuality. You just become more like a robot. Once you begin to see those signs, all right, then there's a problem. All right, you are not free to be. You are not free to be yourself. All right, I wish I could explain some, but there's no time. All right. Sometimes you find them almost beginning to talk like the senior prophets. Everybody wants to talk or wave their hand or grow their beard in a particular way. There's nothing wrong with that, but you need to be careful. Number three. They seem to have a strong penchant of being flashy and loud in their display of wealth and power. All right? Let me repeat. They seem to have a penchant for being flashy and loud in their display of wealth and power. Number four. Usually, most times, they are unable to teach God's word accurately. Most times, they are unable to teach God's words accurately. So what you find is a mixture. They say some things, it looks like God, then they say other things and you are wondering, where did this man get this thing from? Okay? So what I'm saying also relates to toxic prophets, not just prophetic community. Toxic, I'm a toxic prophet, will make a toxic prophetic community leader. All right? So they don't teach God's word accurately. Some of them will tell you that their wives are their slaves. They will tell you things that demean women, and all of that. And it sounds spiritual, but there's something wrong there. Number five, I think, they distract people with mysterious, unexplainable miracles. They usually tend to be able to distract people with unexplainable miracles. There's just something like somebody pulling out handkerchief, from your pocket that wasn't there before, or like the one I saw last week. The prophet was vomiting money I don't know if anybody saw that video on YouTube. I saw it on YouTube. And the guy was telling people, if you come now, come, I will give you money. He was telling people to come. You know, these are some things that people find online and then they get very uncomfortable with people who call themselves prophets. Because, I mean, how can the prophet be playing games? You know, I call it in games. The guy was vomiting money, you know, and he gave it to a woman and said, that God wanted to bless her. That is a very wrong spirit. There are all these unexplainable miracles. You know, you got to watch out. Those are very toxic people. Their goal is to manipulate you, manipulate your money, manipulate and control your life. They will tell you the day you can go to your husband's bedroom and when you should not go to your husband, and the day you should greet your husband good morning and the day you shouldn't greet anybody. That is just prophetic balablu. You don't need it. All right, so this is me telling you. All right, let me see. Do I have any other point here? They sometimes try to get close to genuine men of God in order to get validation. So you will see some of them taking pictures. They travel to the US, go to, you know, come to redemption camp or go to places, and their goal is just to have like a photo op, you know, trying to show that, oh, they know this person, know that person, or this person is their friend, so that even when you want to say, why is this person, you know, you now notice, oh, this person has actually been with Benny Hinn before. He has been with Pastor Adeboye. But, I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but they know exactly what they are doing. The next point there, I think that should be six or seven now. Seven. And this one is, please, I want you to take note of this one. Toxic prophets and toxic prophetic communities many times use sexual intercourse to rise through prophetic ranks. All right? They have this covenant that they do. Because when you look at many of them, they are not really prophets. They have been empowered by Satan. And part of the demands upon them is that they must engage in some kind of sexual immorality to boost, to keep the anointing fresh. So some of them might be on a 3 days, you know, crusade or outreach. And in fact, there was a particular case I heard about. This happens like in South Africa, in a lot of places, you know, around, I don't know, I think we have a bit of it in Nigeria, but it's kind of a bit prominent in South Africa, you know, where if a guest minister is, you know, coming to your church or to your country, they provide you an escort, and that escort is a young girl, very pretty. She's supposed to wear very short skirts or dress provocatively. There's a way she dresses. She's the one who comes to give you your food. She's just going about, and she's going to give you different kinds of food. It's not just the goal is that she's part of the honorarium. That's what I'm saying. And when I saw this and I heard it, I was shocked. You know, that part of the pastoral care could be giving somebody a lady to spend the night with, you know. But all these things happen within a particular court system, you know, and you have to be very, very careful. I don't recommend that a lady should be your personal escort or a younger person. If the person is old enough to be your mother, no problem. I mean, but I'm just saying we need to be careful, because a lot of those court systems use sex to upgrade and rise through the ranks. The moment they start asking you to come and join this department, join that team, and they are trying to bring you closer, just know that you're in trouble. They defend the practice of sin. Some of them live perpetually in sin. And I'm not talking about somebody who made a mistake or who is battling with a weakness. I'm talking about somebody who lives in sin and they defend each other doing it. All right? Another point here is they are able, these false prophets and toxic prophetic communities, they are able to operate the prophetic gifts without living a life of concentration. They are able to operate the prophetic gifts without living a life of consecration. Okay, this one is a very big one. They usually require require payment for their visions and assistance. My time is already up, so I don't know if anybody's getting some value here. But, you know, they are going to tell you to sow a seed before they prophesy to you. Now, if somebody is a blessing to you, there's nothing wrong in being a blessing to them. But it should not be a condition. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. All right? So don't be deceived. You might know people who do it is wrong. Don't charge. All right? So I'm going to hand over. There's one other thing I would have. Maybe what to do if you have been exposed to these ministries. But I'm going to leave that out because of time.